Blog Talk Radio.
It's 8 o'clock, and it's the latest episode of Graphics Policy Radio, where comic books and politics meets. Calling in right now seems to be Alana.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just looks like school.
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, everything sounds great.
Great.
I think it's just going to be us. Ken actually just emailed about and said he's not going to be able to join us tonight. So, well, this is going to be a fairly easy show, I think. Well, we were talking, said you haven't really kept up with this week's releases. Have you read any comics this week?
Not a one. I've been kind of crazy dealing with a lot of Occupy Wall Street things, so I'm very far behind. I haven't even picked up my new Uncanny, or formerly known as Uncanny, which I'm really dying to read. I probably should have just given in and got it as a digital comic, but I know it's over in my pull box over at Forbidden Planet, and I couldn't bring myself to do that.
It's kind of awesome. It's a great issue. So how is Occupy Wall Street? I was actually going to ask you that. It was just going to be...
Oh, well, the weather turning bad is not fun. I really hope that folks can continue to stay out and keep the space. It's a very important part of calling attention to the economic inequality that nobody was talking about until this started happening. The project that I was most involved in actually is called Occupy the Boardroom, and that this week we delivered 7,000 letters to CEOs at Bank of America and Chase, so that was very important and fun. I've definitely been enjoying some of the Occupy Wall Street comic book humor stuff online. Bruce Wayne cartoons were cute, and I like Deadpool's response to his completely incoherent analysis. Very in character. I'm curious, if the story starts coming up in comics over the next few months.
So, actually, I kind of was thinking about that. It didn't hit me until, 15 minutes ago that this is actually a great discussion for us. So, you're a Marvel reader, and have you been picking up that over, seems like the last 6 months, definitely the last year, that they're setting up Roxxon, which is, the big giant evil corporation, is, a big bad guy? And there was, slight weaving in and out of stories about them?
No. Which books was that in? I didn't catch that.
So, it's interesting. So, Roxxon's, this company that's been around, seems like forever, in the Marvel world, and they're kind of best known for creating Deathlok is one of their big things. And so it started with their Deathlok miniseries, which came out, I want to say last year, year and a half ago, which was kind of it was a really good story. And then it took actually place in the 616 with Deathlok taking on X-Force. And then there was references to Roxxon in Astonishing X-Men. And I want to say that they've cropped up in Avengers every once in a while. And I really thought Marvel was going this, versus the big giant evil corporation route, and it seems to have dropped off the planet. They just didn't follow up on it, didn't go anywhere. But I guess clearly I was the only one that missed it.
Well, I actually don't read any of the books you just listed. That's the problem. I know I read a lot of X books, but I don't read Astonishing. But that's interesting. I mean, I've always been intrigued by the role that companies play within DC Universe and Marvel Universe, the fictional companies, and when they're doing good and when they're doing bad, and what does that look like? And, the relationship of heroes with the companies, which many of them own.
Yeah, it was, I was kind of hoping that they would revive this with the whole Occupy Wall Street going on. There was actually an article in Entertainment Weekly about how Hollywood is, a lot of celebrities are showing up, and we know at New York Comic Con, a lot of comic book artists and writers were stopped by the protests. And Hollywood, I mean, it takes months and months for them to plan, so I think it just, ironically, a lot of stuff is coming out around this time without actual them being smart. like, well, you've got like Tower Heist, which is coming out, which sort of plays into it. You've got Margin Call, which absolutely plays into it. There were the book, the guy who wrote Moneyball just came out with something about day trade or like day trading or bond trading or something like that.
Oh. Yeah,
so it's interesting that you've got these three, I'd say, pretty big things have come out all at the same time. And of course, MTV hopped on it with their, like, they're trying to get Occupy Wall Street protesters to try out for Real World. They've got their, we can go into that one. They've got their, like, I am a Occupy Wall Street protester, whatever the real life, not Real World, but their whatever real life series.
Yeah, their documentary series, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. So that's covering it, which, you know, obviously can pivot a lot better. So I'm wondering if we're going to see comics. I got to imagine we will.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will. I wish I could, like, mention all of the comic writers and artists who've retweeted stuff that I've reported from when I've been down at Occupy Wall Street, which has been quite edifying. I was worried that I would get some people unfollowing me because I was doing so much coverage of just what was going on in New York, and I've actually been quite the opposite. So I don't know. We'll see in the next few months, I guess. If we don't start seeing them, I don't know. How many months did you give it, you think, that we would see any traces of it in comics?
So generally there's about 3 to 4 month lead on series from what I can tell. So you would think that it would show up end of this year, early next year at most.
Yeah.
But I can't even, the bigger is, like, I can't think of, other than bringing back Roxxon for Marvel, what series something like that would fit in. Like, you've got Lex Luthor with Superman, but I think that would be too big of a tale to tell with their reboot.
I don't even know what DC is going to. Well, the thing is, though, like, there's no banking industry. It's all of the big companies in Marvel and DC are science companies. They invent things. They're biotech. They build machines, or they're arms manufacturers. There's nothing really that's just finance. Probably because just manipulating money to steal money from the public isn't as interesting as building things and doing science. So it's lended itself to fewer stories. But I do think that if you were doing more of an intrigue and less of an action-oriented series, you could really do a lot over in the financials, but looking at finance as a setting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so I'm trying to think. In the latest Daredevil, there is something about, it seems like a lot of the terror groups like Hydra and AIM are gathering together and using their smarts to put together like a fleet of ships that they can easily get around, because I guess depending on what flags you fly under, whether or not you get checked as often, and there's some weird thing with nautical law that they're circumventing, which seems to be a fascinating thing for a comic book to cover.
Yeah, that is interesting, actually.
It's one of those where I'm trying to...
Should I be reading Daredevil, incidentally? Are you following it right now?
I think it's fantastic. It has, like, this sense to it, like a throwback to the old, I think, Shadow and Spirit comics, but with a modern sense. Like, it's this great pulp action. It's not so much a brooding character. There's some references to things that went on before, but it's kind of, like, moved on. I've liked it a lot. Like, I think Mark Waid's, like, really kicking ass on it.
Because I really enjoyed Bendis' run on that book, but I'm tired of it. Like, I've gotten enough. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Move on to a different, even though I really enjoyed that Daredevil, and for a while that was one of the only comics I was buying issues of, but yeah, I definitely would want something new to happen in there. I actually picked up a copy of Moon Knight, which folks have been nagging me to try, and I would have been picking that up every month if not for the fact that I decided I'm going to wait for the trade paperback on this case, because I already missed, like, so many of the first issues. That comic was really interesting, and beautiful art, of course. Seems to be operating in a kind of more similar world to what Daredevil is talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Moon Knight to me was always Batman, but absolutely batshit insane, like he should be. And I think Bendis is playing it off, like, amazing with him having split personalities and clearly, like, is he crazy? Is he not really crazy? Is it just the training? Is it his internal monologue? Like, I think it's amazing writing and really, really interesting storytelling. And then, like, the art on it's unbelievable.
Right.
And Alex Maleev is, I think, one of the best artists out there.
I mean, I'm glad comics has room to let someone like him do a superhero book. And I think the popularity of the titles he works on, I mean, I guess Moon Knight isn't hugely popular, but although it's critically, you know, pretty critically acclaimed, but it's a character no one's ever heard of. But when he gets to do bigger titles like Daredevil, people buy them in a great deal, should say to the publishers that we don't just want one kind of art.
Yeah, I mean, you've got even his work on Spider-Woman, it was unreal. I mean, it was the same team doing Spider-Woman back in the day, and, like, of course, that series, you know, tanked. But it was that great writing as well. Very similar, I mean, exact same art. Alex Maleev's, I mean, his art's unlike any other's. You can tell what it's his. And then it was Bendis's writing. It was that was another great series that just kind of crashed and burned.
Was that in the 90s?
No, it was post Secret Invasion, so
oh.
It would have been 2009 or 2010, probably 2009.
Darn, I should have bought that. I guess I'll take full responsibility for it not being profitable.
It was good. Like it was her being a agent for S.W.O.R.D. and hunting down Skrulls, which it was really cool. Like. I think it's worth the read. And then they actually did it came out from Shout Factory, like a, I don't even know type of animation you'd call it. It's like stop motion animation of the entire run, which was really, really good.
That's neat. There's a lot of comics properties getting animated right now. I'm barely able to keep up with the things that I'm hearing coming through the pike. I mean, you haven't checked out first year one or whatever it is yet, have you?
No, I haven't. It's gotten praised, but I haven't. Like, I just finished watching the, second part of season one of Young Justice, which I thought was really, really good. You've got Green Lantern's going to be an animated series, which seems like a very interesting style. Like, it kind of back to the blocky Batman style, but it also looks computer-generated.
Who is that one for? Is that one aimed at, like, all ages, or is it for adults, or?
I'm guessing it's all ages. It's Cartoon Network.
Well,
I think it's Cartoon Network. But it definitely looks interesting. But, yeah, they've got year one. Marvel's kind of cranking stuff out as far as these kind of, like, stop motion they're doing. You've got their anime, which I haven't checked at all. It's Iron Man, X-Men, and Wolverine that's on G4.
Yeah.
It looked like I caught a bit of it. I just never – it was like on a Friday nights at late, and it's like, I'm not going to watch this. It's
no,
bad timing.
I DVR that. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd heard about the Marvel anime thing. I had thought it was sort of supposed to be not that great and for kids, but the review that I just read in IO9 made it sound interesting. I might have to check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely one that I kind of want to go back and check out, but I haven't had a chance yet. I'm so behind as far as reading comics and just catching out regular shows and movies. Like, I don't have 2 seconds to go check out yet another animated show or anything. I'm trying to think what else is out there. There's just a lot of properties that they're doing that seem to be switching over to animation. I mean, it goes back to our kind of discussion last week about Marvel and DC really being idea proper, like kind of
yeah.
More of the Pixar idea generators as opposed to just like standalone publishers.
Yeah. And Thundercats is doing really well too. And I mean, that was a toy TV co-marketing thing before it was anything else, but it is also a comic. I'd count that in as well.
Yeah, hey, you've got that, and then you've got a resurrection of G.I. Joe and mm-hmm. Transformers, and it's feels like the 80s are back, if anything.
I was going to say, it's partially just because everybody our age is finally old enough to run things. That's part of the reason why things are back, is we're old enough now that someone's listening to us, or it might be us in charge. I definitely am curious how these titles may or may not speak to young people, too.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something I need to check out. I know I need to check out, and I just have been lazy and haven't bothered.
Well, what are the best things that you've been reading this week?
I actually finished up my reviews just a bit ago, so there's actually some really solid stuff. I thought Walking Dead was unbelievable as expected. I mean, Robert Kirkman's series is just, I mean, it's 90 issues in and hasn't faltered at all. You know, it's interesting listening to people talk about the television series, and they all kind of flip out and they're like, I don't get it. There should be zombies chasing them down and they're attacked every minute and they're expecting like a crappy horror movie. When it's not, like, this focus of the television series and the comic has always been the human interaction and how they actually would react and survive in a zombie apocalypse. And, like, this issue is just amazing. I mean, he's I'd say 3 or 4 issues definitely pulled at my heart more than, like, anything else. It's been unreal, I think, as a whole. Just he's writing like none other. And he hasn't faltered at all. At least with this series. So, I mean, it's really, really good. Wolverine and the X-Men, I think you'll love. I was dying laughing. The entire first issue is them just getting the school up and running. And I have to, of course, go before the New York Board of Education.
Oh, my God. I have to read this.
Yeah, so you can imagine these inspectors and the Board of Regents walking around and checking out the school that's, like, barely functioning. Full of all these mutants.
Leveled
and,
regularly,
like,
yeah.
And there's some awesome humor, like Xavier shows up and is kind of walking around and he's talking about budget. He's like, make sure to budget for the school getting destroyed a couple times. And I mean, it's just this fantastic humor that was going into it. Voodoo I thought was really good. I know there's still a lot of trepidation from people about the series, but it kind of gets away from the sex a little bit and more onto the idea that it's like a spy thriller than anything else. I'm trying to think. Like, it was interesting is that, like, very few of the second issues of DC really, like, knocked me out as a whole, but this week seems to have the best of the best. Like, they all seem to be kind of lumped together. iVampire I thought was absolutely amazing. The Flash was great. I mean, the art, I think, in The Flash just is unreal, and the story itself was really, really good. Let's see, where Dark Knight was okay. That was one of the lessers, but, like, Aquaman was fantastic. All-Star Western was really, really good as well. So, I mean, DC seems to, like, it's clearly that the best is separating itself from the rest, and I think the rest is definitely comes off as blah compared to this. Mm-hmm. But, like, the stuff that's really good is really, really good when it comes to DC. So, but as a whole, like, the weeks, it's been pretty good. Like, there was some solid issues and a debut of a couple stuff. But overall, like, you know, probably a handful that really stuck out to me.
Mm.
Wolverine and the X-Men is probably one of the best of the week. That was, if I had to pick 5, it would be Wolverine and the X-Men, Walking Dead, Flash, Aquaman, and iVampire would probably be the 5th.
I'm definitely picking up Wolverine and the X-Men, though. Don't worry. No need to sell me on that. I'm really looking forward to reading it. And, of course, you know, I really enjoyed Schism, and Uncanny has been one of my favorites recently, so I'll be picking up. I guess it's going to be add the adjective list, X-Men. Is that going to be what Uncanny was, or Team Cyclops, rather?
it's interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how it's all going to play out. I'm still kind of figuring out where the like, all of the X-Men stuff's going to lie, especially Astonishing. Astonishing is just, like, that was out this week, and I really thought it was bad.
I haven't been reading Astonishing at all. I picked up 2 issues a while ago. I thought they were stupid. I haven't picked it up again. it seems like, well, how do you have Astonishing and, you know, whatever, you know, Team Cyclops, and it doesn't, what's that book's identity?
That's what I can't figure out. Yeah, that to me, that's my issue, too, is, like, none of the stories live up to the word Astonishing. So, like, if you've got Astonishing in the title, it should hopefully be somewhere in the ballpark of Astonishing. It's not. And, like, how it ties into the rest, I have no idea. It's kind of falters, and that was part of my review. Like, it needs its own identity, and I don't know what that is.
Right. Or maybe they just don't need to have that book exist. Like, maybe they have an X properties running around right now, and they don't need to have another one.
Yeah, and that's my other...
It was created because of Joss Whedon was, you know, there to write it, and it was remarkable. It was so good. I don't really know if I had a reason to continue, you know, from there.
Yeah, and it was... And they kind of wanted him to write, and it was out of continuity, and he could go and play and have, you know, fun with it, and this series seems to be, like, in continuity, but it's also not, and there's all kinds of questions about it. Yeah, it's supposed to be in continuity now, but... It just doesn't fit. Like, there's something seems off about it, and it's just not a lot of fun, and some stuff seems
to be
played out.
Who's writing it right now?
Oh, it's like a mix of people. I don't have the issue in front of me, but...
That's okay.
It seems,
no, I was just wondering. No, because when I picked it up, it was Warren Ellis, and I love Warren Ellis, and I thought it was probably one of the worst things I'd read by Warren Ellis.
He couldn't really
wrap my mind around it.
So he's writing Secret Avengers, and I just don't... Like, his run on Secret Avengers so far, it's 3 issues, and every single one I've kind of finished it being like, oh, ho-hum, that was okay.
Huh.
Which, yeah, for Warren Ellis, just, I can't help keep having
That's
issue
surprising.
With superhero properties or what. Like, Secret Avengers, he should be doing some awesome stuff, but right now I'm like, kind of like Astonishing. What's its direction? Why is it here? What's its identity? Like, it had this interesting backstory of the Shadow Council and a new organization, which seemed like it was going to rival Hydra, and then it kind of just went off the rails.
Yeah.
Which is a bit disappointing. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, it's Warren Ellis. He's really fantastic. I haven't seen anything good from him since Planet... Since, that new issue of Planet, like the final Planetary or whatever. So,
yeah. What's
going on there? I don't know.
I can't, you know, maybe his best days are behind him. I don't know.
I don't want to be bleak like that, but people need to just sort of think about what are people's skills that they should be focusing on, and maybe he should be doing his own thing and not doing other people's characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, like, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, his run at Astonishing was interesting, but at the same time didn't, like, I kind of was like, all right, whatever. And then the Secret Avengers is 3 issues, and I'm just kind of wondering what the point is.
And that's a book that people have really been fans of until this point. Secret Avengers, I've heard great things about, and I intend to read the trade paperbacks at some point. So,
yeah.
Well, it's good to know that you think that some of the stuff that's come out of... Is this still issue two? Is this still month two?
It's been
worth reading. God, it feels like it's been forever, but that's just in the life of the public conversation around it, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like it's clearly, at least for the DC, we know what's going to be good, and we know what's probably going to be on the chopping block. It's very clear, like, the good is absolutely fantastic, and the rest is kind of like, it is what it is.
I don't know. I'm telling you, the only two books from there that I'm really feeling like, oh, I really want to see what is happening next in it are, you could probably guess, is Batwoman and Demon Knights, because I'm weird. And there's other ones that I enjoyed, but they're kind of strayed from my mind. Like, I'm not thinking about them. They haven't sat with me since I put them down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and to me, it's a kind of a hole is comic books. Like, there's nothing where
Animal Man. But you see, that's the thing I forgot, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I thought Animal Man 2 was wonderful, and I've made my boyfriend read them, and he's liked them as well. But I totally forgot. Yeah, Animal Man. Oof.
And I'm totally with you. Like, I think as a comics as a whole, these last couple of months I've been wondering, like, where's the stuff that makes me want to actually go to the shop every single week? Like, really good stuff that's coming out, but there's nothing that says, oh my God, there's very few things that say, oh my God, I want to pick up the next issue right away.
Well, the X books have had that effect on me for sure. So, but yeah, making our lives a little bit easier.
I mean, to me, like the great stuff would be Pigs, which is an issue came out weeks ago. I really like Charles Soule's 27, just because it's so different than everything else. iVampire, I think, is up there that I really want to see where the hell it goes. Trying to think what else. I want to say, like, that's all I can think of off the top of my head that I'm like, oh my God, this is like the greatest thing ever. You need to read this. Walking Dead, I think, is fantastic. And to see where he goes. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'm not jumping where I feel like I need to rush out every week. Though I do, because my store is luckily now conveniently located within walking distance of work. So
that'll help, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it really easy to get there on Wednesdays. So I brought it up, and I sent it around, and you said you had to read it. So I brought up in text to you that, so this week I did another study of who the comic book fans are on Facebook. And it's pretty interesting stuff. So I actually did two studies. I did one of like the population as a whole, and then I did one of digital fans. And the population of a whole I'll explain to everyone in the audience, and then you can pick holes as to what I'm missing when I do this. So,
explain your methodology to folks too.
Exactly. So what I do is, and I haven't done it for about 3 or 4 months, but I've decided to start kicking up every couple weeks. Every week I'm going to look at a different population. But so what I do is I go on Facebook, and through manipulation of their back end, I'm able to put together demographic information of comic book fans. And what I generally think of comic book fans are people who have said they have liked either certain specific publishers. DC, they like Marvel, they like Top Cow, they like Image, or they like general terms, so comic books, graphic novels, manga, and kind of variations of those. So comics would be one, comic books would be another, graphic novel would be one, graphic novels would be another. And that's my methodology. And I don't include specific series, I don't include artists, I don't include writers, I don't include characters, and the reason being is because you can be a fan of those things without being a fan of comic books. So that's my logic.
Although there are definitely artists and writers who only work in comics medium, and therefore you can assume if somebody is a fan of, you know, Grant Morrison, then that's why.
Yeah, but still, my issue would be is, like, you fall into someone like Neil Gaiman. Who's
right, no, and it's true. I wouldn't count that because it's too possible that they're talking about his books. Yeah, this is a complicated question, but continue.
Yeah, so that's kind of the logic behind it. So altogether, something like 30 terms. And it's actually really kind of fun putting it together. So the population's kind of exploded since the last time I searched. And the reason, I think, is because the way Facebook actually puts together the information has changed a little bit. Before it was you had to use specific terms, but now they have included hashtags. So you could put, like, hashtags, and it's going to bring up, like, any derivation of comics. So that expanded it a little bit. But I don't think it would, kind of make it blow up. So as much as I've done like 5 or 6 of these in the past, it's kind of hard to compare what I did this week versus what I did last week. But going forward, everything's going to be the same, so that's super. So compared to what we did, like what I did 4 months ago, the population now stands at over 2.6 million people. The population before was like 1.6 million people. It's strange to me that such a huge explosion in that number is just because the search method has changed a little bit. But it's probably that combination of actual fandom versus the search terms. And the one I'm going to do this week is I want to look at DC Comics specifically. I did one of them before. And if I see a large explosion in their statistics, maybe there's actually gains to the overall group, but who knows? So the population is about 2.6 million. And interestingly enough, I also had fun to go look at how many of those were Spanish speakers. And it's 2.14%. Which was an interesting one. So this is the general breakdown of the comic book fan. So women has actually increased since the last time. While the population has increased overall, like, I would think the percentages would stay pretty consistent. Like, there shouldn't be that much of a shift between percentages. But women increased 3%, which to me is a sizable difference from 4 months ago. Especially when the numbers from week to week were always very consistent. So it's still fairly dominated male, 63%, but women make up about 36% of the population. Let's see here. The age hasn't really changed at all. There's still a peak of 18 to 21, but the majority of fans are under the age of 30, and almost all are under the age of 41. Which still, like, it's under 20.
That could be a reflection of older people who use Facebook primarily to track photos of their kids, not also going into the habit of listing their interests. So
absolutely, that's a huge flaw of this. Like, it's only can look at people who give up the info. So in the study, I've always said that, you know, that's all this looks at is who has said
right.
what. Like, it's not a.
Right.
I would argue
they probably are more old fans than it looks like, and that would be the reason.
Yeah,
social media.
What's interesting though is the percentages of the age, even compared to the four months prior or the ones that I did 4 months ago, has always stayed pretty consistent with the percentages breaking down. So, I mean, under 17 is like the second largest population. 18 to 21 is the largest, 22 to 25 is the next, and then it kind of goes down from there. So there's a peak really early on, which is interesting. The next would be is the relationship status. What a shock that single is the largest percent, but that also makes sense because it's a much younger population.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's a reflection of fans in any way, actually.
No. But this gets interesting because I did a second study. So then the other would be gender interests, which we've discussed has nothing to do with sexuality. It just says I'm interested in meeting these sort of people. So you could be meeting them for, playing video games, hanging out, whatever. It has nothing to do with sex or interest at all as far as relationships. But
right.
It's still, again, consistent. The amount of men that want to meet women is like 65%. Women that are interested in men is 27%. And there's still this like 6-7% same sex interest.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers always stay consistent. But here's where it gets interesting. So then I did the same thing with digital comic book fans. And I used the specific term, so anything that had to do with digital comics, so like Marvel Digital Comics would be one, Comixology, iVerse, Graphically, DriveThru. I like went through all the actual apps that are out there. So the population is much smaller, but the percentages is what I care about, not so much the population size. So one, the digital fans are much more educated than the general population. And here is partially what I think why, is it is much older by a decade than the average comic book fan. The peak for this is actually, for them, is the 34 to 37 age range. So over 12 years older than the average fan. It's pretty consistent from 26 to 41. Like, each of those is 1,000-something people. But the peak is much, much later age-wise. And the only thing I can think of is, like, maybe the people who are using digital comics, like reading it on their iPads, are just an older population, or it's older fans coming back to comic books.
Or it could just be really hardcore fans who have actually, who are the only ones who are aware of this medium existing in that way, since they haven't been advertising it that widely to the general public.
Well, it's interesting, is if you pay, yeah, I thought about that, is that it's going to be the hardcore people who are users of the technology. And I know Google, like, I hate to be stereotypical, but men seem to fall more into the tech area or early adopters. Like the Google Plus, when it first came out, there was a whole bunch of issues with it being like 75% male or something like that. Like it was this ludicrous amount. And I'm wondering if it's just because it's early adopters, maybe. There's ads, like, there's not great ads right now, but if you look at the ads for Kindle, iPad, I want to say the Sprint ad, they all have screenshots of comic book characters. Like, they're subtly placed in all those ads, but you have to look for it. And the other would be, and the other that it's, besides it's taking off, is Comixology has announced for the last 6 Wednesdays in a row, the Comixology app for the iPad has been the highest grossing app in all of the iTunes store. So it's getting there.
Wow.
So digital comics is taking off. Like, it's definitely becoming much more acceptable and a bigger thing. But it's, so older population, and then the other is it's dominated by men. 81% of the population is male. And, like, those two together is just, to me, really fascinating. They're more educated, which makes sense. If they're older, of course they'd be more educated. You're just more likely to have graduated from college at that point.
Right.
So, to me, that doesn't, like, hold tons of water. It just makes sense. They're actually more married. The majority of the population is married, with 41%, which, again, makes sense because they're older. The relationship is who's interested. Who isn't much different percentage wise, but it's like that age, the gender, and the education are three things that, like, beyond stick out. And it's actually a smaller Spanish speaking population. Don't know why. That was just an odd one that I became fascinated with.
I'd be curious, like, if people are using different terms and when they're primarily speaking other languages that we wouldn't necessarily even think of, but I don't know what that is.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, that is interesting about digital comics. I mean, well, because, look, I read digital comics, but primarily I read print comics. But I would certainly never, my first initial attraction to reading digital comics was simply because they had some free stuff, and I'm a fan of free stuff. So I started reading them because there was free things, and I would only buy free things. I'd only get the free ones. I would never spend money. But eventually, I think there was like one issue that I'd missed of something that I wanted to read. Like, I couldn't find it in the back issues anywhere, so I bought that. And this other time I was on the Long Island Railroad, and it smelled like horrible toxic chemical cleaning fumes of death, so I bought an issue of Red Sonja, which is a very normal response to have to chemical fumes, in my personal experience. And and that was issue 2. I'd gotten one for free, right? So getting one for free to start was definitely the beginning for me. But I don't have an iPad. I'm reading them all on my iPhone. But, I don't know, that's been my introduction to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of fascinating. Like, there's that much of a difference in the pop, like, the self-identifying population. We've seen, like, I don't know. So here's the only thing I can think of is that these are specific brands that people are saying, but then again, so are the publishers. But seeing Comixology or Graphically or Iverse doesn't have the same, like, weight as seeing Marvel or DC or Image Comics.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah,
so
you're not
going
to identify yourself as being a Iverse fan. You're not going to say that's how you define yourself as a fan.
Right.
It's medium, not, like, the actual, like, brand that you like.
So that's one. The other that I discovered, which I thought was really interesting, is no one is owning digital comics on Facebook, like just the idea as a whole. There's no generic terms, which I know Facebook is trying to kind of get away from, but that's missing. Like comic books and comics are terms. Graphic novels is a term you can search off of, but digital comics or digital comic distribution or any of that is missing, which I thought was kind of fascinating. I'm trying to think what else. Like,
right,
it was,
well, because who other than someone who's really invested, not just in comics, but in that specific sector of the comics industry is going to even mention that? It's sort of...
Yeah. I mean, as a whole, I'm not shocked the population is so insignificant. Like, it's 7,000 people or something like that compared to the 2.6 million. It's 7,500 people. So the fact that it's so small doesn't shock me at all. But then, like, those percentages are really interesting, especially the fact that it's so dominated by men. The curve of the age is so so much older than the normal fan. It's interesting. Like, the refs line up. The education makes sense. That relationship makes sense. I would imagine that if we could delve further, they would be probably wealthier than an average fan just because they're older and have had time to work. You know, the rest kind of all, you know, falls into place.
So do you have any thoughts about what that means for digital comics? I mean, in a way, the survey size is too small to really be significant, but I know that, you know, you're someone who's done a lot of thinking about that issue in general.
Yeah, so having talked to a couple other people who are on the publishing end, and they've done surveys of their users, like the people who use these apps, and generally what it seems is pretty consistent is it's a lot of people who are coming back to comics. It's not really gobbling up from the current print readers. And that's the other thing is, like, what the Comixology press release that came out about the fact that they were so big these last 6 weeks also kind of pointed out, and very smartly pointed out, was not only has digital comics exploded and started selling so much more pretty much ever since the New 52, comics as a whole has shown an increase in sales with print. And it shows the two universes can live side by side and they're not going to gobble each other up. At least that's what it says to me. And I would say the kind of the equivalent for us working in politics is the idea of online fundraising and, you know, gathering checks from people is one, you know, there was some overlap, but one didn't like really put the other out of business.
Right.
And it's the only thing I could think of when it comes to comics is it's a similar thing is that you're seeing a boost of, you know, one's helping the others, that we're just in an exciting time. There's a lot of new release stuff coming out and getting people interested again. And I'm trying to think if the same thing happened with digital sales, like physical sales either like leveled out or they've still dropped, but digital sales took off. And I can't remember, like, I just don't know the music industry well enough, is that if one's really, like, you haven't seen gains like that. And the same thing with books. You saw Google or the Kindle take off as far as selling of books, but I haven't seen also the same thing that saying book sales as a whole are skyrocketing. It seems that's also kind of having issues. So it's very, I think comics seem to be very unique in that area.
Well, you know, we know that one of the barriers for reading comics for some people is they don't want to buy lots of small little floppy things. And one way that that's been addressed is the trade paperbacks. And another way that it can work better for people is digital. So, I mean, I think it's a great development.
And, I mean, the other
thing... I have problems with the apps having bugs when I use them, though. Things crash a lot. I mean,
I don't know
if it's just me, but...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had as much issues with it. Then again, you know, the digital for me is the previews I get and reading them on the iPad. And every so often, it's the free stuff you get from Comixology or Drive Thru.
Because I've bought issues from DC and Marvel through the app.
I have never bought an issue. All I've ever gotten was done the free stuff. To me, I mean, like, to me, the issue with digital is you don't own it. Like, that's what holds me off of digital. The only thing is drive-through, you actually own a physical, or, you know, a digital copy. I'll kind of do quotes as physical copy, because you get a watermarked PDF. But when it comes to
the console, that's appealing to me, because, yeah, I don't love the fact that you don't own it. Even though I'm a Kindle reader, I've had to do that logistically. I can't carry around large books when I'm commuting, so I've had to go to Kindle. But, yeah, I don't like the fact that it's not ultimately yours, and they could totally 1984 that stuff away.
So, interesting. That came up in the Comixology panel in New York Comic Con. So there's two questions. So the first question was, what happens if you guys go out of business? To which their retort very intelligently was, if you keep buying, we're not going to. Which is an awesome response. But they've said that they are, from every report I've heard, they're doing quite well. That they... I don't think they're the juggernaut, basically. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And they also said that they have enough assets as far as, you know, data and the technology and all that stuff, that they would be bought up before they would go out of business. Which is another where I kind of hem and haw, but, you know, the chances of them going under are kind of, I don't know, the chance of Comixology going under is very slim compared to some of the others. They're not the one I worry about. The comment about the owning was part of the issue is that there's no standard for everyone. So even if you wanted to move over your issues, there's no way to really do that. The thing that it seems everyone forgets with iTunes, like when Steve Jobs stepped in and said, we're going to do digital music, he forced a standard on everyone. MP3s was not like the main standard for music. Like, he said, we're going to do MP3s, we're going to do a standard across everything, and you're going to like it. There's no Steve Jobs doing this. There's no personality that's gone to all the publishers and said, here's a format that we're going to do, and you're going to like it. And the rest
but
of the
I don't see why the format not being standard has anything to do with my ability to own it or not.
So
to actually own a PDF copy.
Right. So it's the question of the owning. It's that is the question of the porting. So if a app was to go under, you wouldn't be able to port it to another system. So there's that
proprietary
issue.
But if they can make it adaptable so that you can also have it be a different document format.
Yeah, so then the question comes down is, like, what secure format is there? I mean, PDF is a possibility. Like, part of the thing of owning it is, what are you going to do it as? Like, as far as, like, standard stuff out there, there's CBZ, which is really, I think, just a fancy PDF. And then there's PDF, and it's like, that's it out there. So, I mean, the thing was, for a while, you had iTunes being, having all kinds of DRM involved in it, and it wasn't until, like, the last year or two that it started going DRM-free, or free. With comics would be the same thing, is that they're in that early iTunes stage where everything is very DRM'd, and you're stuck with it, and you can't use it on another system, just like iTunes was. But the thing is, there's no foresight. It seems like there's no standard out there. Like, if I wanted to, and there was a point where there's no DRM, I can't port my stuff out and use it wherever I feel like. Like, drive-through, I can just put on an iBooks and read it. It's a PDF. Like, that's all there is. With all the rest, that's not what they are. They're much fancier formats than that. That was just such a rambling, nonsensical answer.
Well, no, I mean, I still think that this is something which they should take seriously and solve. I don't think it's impossible at all. I think it should be a higher priority.
Yeah, and that, I think part of it's interesting, is that, you know, you ask a lot of the people who are purchasing stuff digitally, you know, do you own this? And most everyone will say, it's just, you know, same thing with, like, video games and music. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's like, no, you don't. read the fine print. Digital downloaded video games are the same issue. Music technically is a very similar issue. Even if you buy CDs, you're limited to what you can do with it. And that if you buy a physical CD, technically you only own the stuff that makes up the CD. You don't own the music. It's an issue.
Functionally, you do. I mean, obviously you don't own it in the sense that you have like the same rights music publisher does, but you technically they can't break into your home and steal your CD.
Yeah, and there are interesting cases in that is, I forgot who it was, got a sampler, and the publishing company wanted the sampler back. And I don't remember the reason why, but they were just like, we still own this, we want it back. And the person just kind of, I think, fought them, but eventually gave up and kind of handed it to them. There's a really weird, the whole thing of digital rights, like how it's not becoming a bigger issue. In comic books, this doesn't seem like it's there's a lot of foresight there. And it's definitely an issue that the comic book press follow up on. Like there was, so Apple with the latest iOS has their newsstand edition, and graphically, God bless them, like hopped on it right away. It was the day like iOS 5 came out, newsstand came out. Graphically, the next day had a updated version of that took advantage of that. And what newsstand does is delivers a digital copy every month to you, which is interesting, except there's a lot of issues with that, in that you pay $2.99 for an app, and graphically later, after I pressed them, said, you get the latest issue with that $2.99 app. And it's like, okay, great. You don't mention that anywhere, but you probably should bring that up. The next would be is every month you're charged, I think, $1.99 or $2.99 no matter what. So Walking Dead didn't ship in September, was no issue. Or there was a month that it just skipped. So what happens when the comic skips? You're still charged whatever your $1.99 or $2.99. And what then? And graphically was like, well, we'll fill it in. I'm just like, well, I don't want to fill it. I paid $1.99, $2.99. I want the latest issue. So there's that issue. What are some of the other ones? If I decide to stop doing the subscription, what happens to my old stuff? Like, do I still have to use the app? It's another app that I have to use on the system. What happens if I don't want to use that app on the system? I'm trying to think what other some other great ones. Oh, the other one was if there's dollar issues, what happens for that? Or if a publisher wants to charge $4.99 for a special issue that's oversized and you're normally charging $2.99, how do you do the extra cost? Does the publisher have to eat the $2? There was all these questions out there. So it's like a lot of people are jumping on the tech without thinking of the long term. Which to me is it's interesting. As a whole, I'm excited where digital is coming from or going, but there's still a lot of questions that have yet to be answered, which makes me nervous.
Well, they just need to make sure that people are really thinking about it with a long-term perspective and not the get in, get out, get your money, and screw the medium perspective.
Yeah, and I got the sense from at least the Comixology guys, they are in it because they love the medium. The first series that they brought in was stuff they wanted to read. So it wasn't hey, we're going to go grab Marvel or we're going to go grab DC. It's I love this specific comic. And even then, it's they'll find an indie comic and then pursue it to go make sure it's digital.
I really respect that about the model.
And then there was some of the other stuff they talked, it was interesting in that Comixology's app has this function that you go from panel to panel, the guided view, and they actually do all that by hand, which I didn't know, which was...
Really?
It's kind of a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to.
The only thing I could think of is that you've got, a program where you can point to sections and it just knows where to move the camera. But he said they said that a lot of the people, or almost all the people that do the guided view, are all film majors, and it's how they want to how they would want to view it going through. So, like, the wipes and the fades and stuff like that is all done by hand and done by these folks who really love the idea of comic books, but also love film as well, which was really cool. And they said that there was one or two series that have started taking advantage of that function.
Which series?
Oh, I wish I had it. They handed out a flyer. I've got it somewhere. I know I need to check it out. I don't have my notes either. I wish I remember. it was like The Power or something like that. I'll post it up when I eventually do my write-up of the Comixology panel.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so that was another, like, really interesting aspect of it. Like they said, you know, there's that kind of the fade going from one page to another. So if you put, like, a gunshot there or the reveal of a bad guy, there's, like, a really cool effect in that. There is that pause leading into that next panel or next page. Which is cool. Like, there's, I'm kind of excited to see where it all goes. And then over time, we'll see if these stats change. Like, I'm still utterly fascinated that it's still male, it's older, but just the male part just kind of blows my mind. I'm so confused by that. Because the other is...
Right, because it definitely would have a lot of potential to appeal to people who aren't obsessed with collecting as its own act, you know, who want the content more than they care about owning the item, which would certainly, you know, match the me and a lot of other female fans that I know, you'd think. So maybe they need to get their marketing act together and, like, let people know this exists.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, I'm trying to think, and I know I haven't seen ads from, like, really anyone. There's the Sprint ads. There's Sprint ads where you actually see, I think, the Graphically app for, like, a screenshot. Kindle hinted at something, especially the Kindle Fire. That was a bunch of questions because there's no Comixology app on Kindle Fire. And all they kept on saying is, like, wow, we are advertised on the, you know, they do use a screenshot of us on the Kindle Fire, so I don't know what that means. Being very coy. But it's fascinating to see those, like, using comic books as part of their marketing. It to me, what I think what's confusing,
I think that the companies that make the device, you know, like Sprint and all them, are using comics in their ads to brand their product as being tech and, like, geek chic, basically. So that even people who don't actually read comics, even though they should, look at that and say, "Oh, Spider-Man," and have this a certain association. I think, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, and it's
part of the marketing.
It's interesting that, yeah, that the tech companies are on their end are doing it, but the actual app companies, you're not really seeing that anywhere. Or even, like,
Marvel and DC. Warner Brothers isn't buying ads for this. They're not, you know, that's crazy to me. You know, on the Kindle, like, they have sponsored ads, for example, if you have certain editions of it, and they could totally be doing sponsored ads in that Kindle once Kindle has comics apps to promote it. It would be... And people could go directly click on that and go and download it right away. It'd be a very seamless and easy way to make money.
And DC just did, like, their exclusive with a Kindle for a bunch of graphic novels. I think it's like 100 graphic novels are for the Kindle Fire, or exclusively on Kindle Fire for 4 months, I think, which led Barnes & Noble to, like, pull a whole bunch of books from DC off the shelves. And a few others. Books A Million was another one that pulled it off. And that, you know, what's funny is that made as much news as DC relaunch.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, like, everyone covered it. Which was actually pretty amazing that it made that much of a splash.
That's a good effect to have. People are aware of it then. DC must be really happy about it in the end of the day, I would imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, it's overall exciting time. So I guess we'll see if the numbers kind of change over time. And I think this week I'm going to tackle DC and see what those numbers are, if they've changed in the whatever form I looked at theirs.
And I wish there was a way you could look in Facebook and see, well, could you figure out how many of these people have just become fans versus were before, and to do, like, based on that person's profile? That's okay.
No.
That was a thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can do is compare it hard number to hard number. So, you know, a number might increase a million, but they also might have shed let's say, 500,000, which means the number actually increased to 1.5 million. Like, all I can do is manipulate the back-end stats. So, but we'll see. You know, so if folks have ideas as to what to look at, I'm all ears.
Well, thanks for doing this. It's research that the industry should probably be doing on its own, but I guess they're not thinking that's great. So.
Yes, they should. They've tried.
Well, next week, I promise I'll have done my reading assignments, and because I do think I couldn't go on for yet another week without knowing what the heck's going up in X-Men. So,
yeah, I want to talk about that. I want
to
hear what your thoughts are on Wolverine. I actually think I haven't had that much fun with an X-Men comic in a long time, so
great.
I'll hear what you say.
Cool.
So,
we'll be back.
Yeah, you know, it's the 9 o'clock hour, and I'm not competing with The Walking Dead, so until next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.